Well, we will be in our second installment tonight of questions you have asked. Now, the box is kind of empty. So if you really have some questions, I'd be in need of preaching material, or I'll find something else. God will give me something else to preach. But I really want these things answered, because I know that there's more questions out there that we're not even scratching the surface of. So tonight is a very interesting one. What is the lake of fire? So tonight I want to talk about this from three viewpoints. First of all, where is the lake of fire first referenced in the Bible? Secondly, is hell and the lake of fire the same? You know, when you get these questions, it's an opportunity to talk about some other doctrine. So I want to take that opportunity and express, talk about hell and talk about the lake of fire. And then, what is the second death that will send one there? So those are the three things that we're going to look at tonight. So the first point is this. Where is the lake of fire referenced in the Bible? The first reference using King James is found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. This is at the end of the tribulation period, where Christ is coming back. He's going to set up his thousand-year reign. He puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives and splits it in two. He comes and defends Jerusalem. He's going to set up rule there. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him." During the tribulation period, Satan is an imitator. So there is a triune God, okay, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in the unholy Trinity, you have Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. And they share similar things. And so there's two of these, the beast, which is what you have to take the mark of, which is where the 666 comes from, okay? False prophet, which is like Christ, okay? That wrought miracles before him, and which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, brimstone is basically molten sulfur. So there's the first reference of the lake of fire in the Bible when you're using the King James. And in fact, in all the other versions, this is the first reference also. So here's the first thing. The first two occupants of the lake of fire are the beast and the false prophet. This is a special place. It is a place of eternal judgment. It is a place of eternal torment. Their followers are slain by Christ. Because in the first part of Revelation 19, heaven's open, Christ comes down. He's got on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, name written. Out of his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword. And he comes down and he slays those that have gathered around Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation period. It says, those slain by Christ, because they're followers of the beast. They're followers of the false prophet. It says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, that's Christ, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is the first Armageddon. This is the first Armageddon. We know from prophecy that the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. And this enters in the millennium kingdom. Now, what does Satan do in this time? Well, there's the thing. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and with the switch sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. Satan You got to go to the next chapter. And what happens to Satan? Satan is bound into a bottomless pit shortly thereafter. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 3, and I said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." So for 1,000 years, the only two inhabitants of the lake of fire, according to God's word, is the beast and the false prophet. All other people are in hell. Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire after the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the last battle. We see in the previous thing in verse 3, it says, he must be loosed for a season. The 1,000-year reign on earth is not the elimination of sin. True, there will be peace, and the lion will lie down with the lamb, and everything will eat straw, and they'll eat vegetarians and stuff like that. But there will still be sin. There'll still be the sin nature. There'll still be humans on earth for that 1,000-year reign. And this bottomless pit is opened up at the end of 1,000 years. And in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 10, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, Jerusalem, again. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." So now we have three there. All the evil is in the lake of fire, which is going to be all the time, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now this bottomless pit thing is an interesting thing. It's just a sensation of falling all the time. That in itself is bad enough. So this is where, who goes in the lake of fire, and this is where it is found. Now there's a couple more references that we'll get to here later on. So this is where it's referenced in the Bible. So who's the first two to go there? Beast and the false prophet. Then 1,000 years go by, Satan's let out. The second battle of Armageddon basically happens, and Satan is cast in there too. Now all the rest of this happens very shortly. But what about all the people that have not believed in Christ before? They're still in hell. They're still in hell. So the second part of this question is hell and the lake of fire the same? And the answer is no. They're not the same. They have some of the same characteristics, but they're not the same entity. There are several words for hell that is a place of torment. The Hebrew word is Gehenna. It means hell fire. It is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Okay? And hell is the place of punishment. Wait, where'd I go? I think I might have missed something up. Okay, it's fine. We can do this. Okay? Hell is a place of punishment in after death of all unbelievers until the second death. And the second death is tied to the lake of fire. So there's the answer here. And we'll move on here. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 26, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and flame linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And his desire to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, this word for hell is Hades. It is the Greek word for torment. Okay? There's another one for Gehenna, and it's the one that Christ uses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. It says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is perishable that for thee that one of thy members should perish, that the whole body should be cast into hell. So when you think about hell in this sense, it is torment. And so in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham says, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest of thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And I guarantee you, everybody wants out. It's not going to be a party down there. So hell is the place of punishment in the after death of all unbelievers until the second death. Hell's characteristics. It is separation from God. And this passage says there is a great gulf fixed that you can't pass from one to the other. It says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Christ says this. He says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It is separation from God. It is a burning flame. In Mark chapter 9, verse 45, another version of account of this, he says, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than to have 2 feet to be cast into hell, unto the fire that shall never be quenched. It will never go out. It's the ultimate eternal flame. Number three, it is darkness. It is the absence of God, because God is what? Light. Mark chapter 8, verse 12 says this, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is near future tense in hell. That is further in the lake of fire. And then there is torment that you would never wish on anybody. Luke chapter 16, verse 28, continuing the story of Lazarus, the rich man. He says, I have 5 brothers. I don't want them to come down here. He says, for I have 5 brothers that he may testify. He wanted to send Lazarus back from paradise to convince them to get right with God so they don't have to be there. I guarantee you, everybody in hell right now doesn't want to be there. And they wish that they made a different decision. And I think that that's part of the torment too. You know, you make a decision, you wish you had didn't. You wish you'd go back and redo that for eternity. People would see the opportunities, the tracts given to people, the gospel preached to them over and over again, and they'll understand what they rejected. It says, for I have father, brother, that he may testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. So hell is a place of punishment. It's for all those unbelievers until the second death, and then it gets worse. Hell's characteristic is separation from God, eternity. There is no purgatory. There is no middle ground. You can't go and get prayed out of there.
That's right.
That's a false doctrine. That's man's thinking. You know why? because he doesn't want to contemplate hell. He wants some way out. It is a burning flame. Christ said it, and we believe it. Amen. It is darkness. It's outer darkness. That's the ultimate darkness. And it is torment. In our story in Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man can see each other. That's because paradise was in the grave. Okay? Now here's some other doctrine. No paradise is seen in hell after Christ's redemptive work. Where did an Old Testament saint go? He didn't go to heaven. Went to paradise. Because on the cross, the thief said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay? And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Abraham's bosom is paradise. So this is the grave. This is the grave. Now, people will argue this point. Okay? But here's the point. How can you stand in front of the presence of God unless you have the blood of Christ on you? The blood of Christ for the Old Testament saints had not been paid yet. They were looking forward. Hebrews 11 is looking forward to the redemption. We talked about today about looking forward. The Old Testament prophecy were looking forward to this. Ephesians chapter 4, 8 through 10 talks about this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Paradise was a place of holding until Christ could redeem those who were going to believe in him. And it says, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also has descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Who is that talking about? Christ. When Christ rose again, he took all those Old Testament saints with him. I put an asterisk there because that's the way this Bible teaches. There are people that will disagree with that. And you may disagree with that. It's not a doctrine of salvation. But the issue is that how can Luke 16 happen the way it is? Because they both died, they both went into the grave, and they saw each other. Okay? But they hadn't been redeemed yet. Christ's blood covers all sins, past, present, and future. So here's the thing. Once Christ died on the cross and rose again, now hell is hell and it's darkness. And there's no even sight of it. It's just terrible. And that makes it even worse. So is hell in the lake of fire the same? The answer is no. Third question. What is the second death that sends one there? Well, that answer is found back in Revelation chapter 20. So Revelation 19 and 20 are the key text for this. And it starts out with a thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne, here's more doctrine. The Great White Throne Judgment is not for believers. You will never go to the Great White Throne Judgment. It is true that in Hebrews 9:27 it is appointed a man wants to die, and after this the judgment. But there's two different judgments. There's the judgment of the believer at the Bema Seat of Christ, which is talked about in 2 Corinthians 3. There is the Great White Throne Judgment, was the ultimate judgment of the wicked. In verse 11 here it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Who can that be? There's only one. It's God. And there was found no place for them. You can't hide from God's judgment. And I saw the dead. What dead? The unredeemed dead. The ones that have been in hell for millennia. small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And now look at the next phrase. And death and what? Hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, here's the deal. You get born twice, you die once. You're born once, you die twice. You die a physical death, and that sends you to hell without Christ. And then at the great white throne judgment, you die a second death. And that sends you to the lake of fire. For eternity. So here are the key points of this second death. After Satan, who went out to deceive all the nations after his 1,000-year prison term, he's cast in the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment happens. All the resurrected wicked come up, and then basically all they are resurrected after this last battle, where Satan is defeated totally. All wicked are judged for their works. Is there more torment for Hitler? I believe so. Because it says they're judged according to their works. But the issue is, are they in the book of life? All wicked are condemned because of their unbelief. I was asked this morning, what is the sin that God can't forgive? He cannot forgive unbelief. He can forgive everything else. But if you just decide not to trust in God, He can't change that. It's your decision. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, the next verse from our passage, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? Lake of fire. So it's the end place of all unbelief from the beginning of mankind to basically the end of mankind. Revelation 21:8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the what? Second death. So what sends you to the great white throne judgment? Dying in unbelief. What sends you to the lake of fire? Dying in unbelief. You sit in hell until this happens. And I think here's the, and this is my impression from this. They're brought before God one more time. Maybe some of them think, maybe I get another chance. David thought that. David thought that when Nathan the prophet came in and said, this son, this kid's going to die. And he started doing what? He prayed. He prayed for 7 days. And then the child died. Why did he pray? He said, maybe God will change his mind and be merciful to me. Can you imagine? I can't imagine a more horrible thing than you sit in hell for thousands of years. And then you're brought before God one more time. And then you're sent to the lake of fire. See where I'm coming from? It just brings all that back. It brings all that back. And that's the second death. What is the second death and what sends you there? Unbelief. What will send you to the lake of fire? unbelief. Okay? Why was the lake of fire put there in the first place? Because of the beast and the false prophet, Satan. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It was not his intention. He made mankind to fellowship with him for his life and blew it. Oh, by the way, the demons are also there. In Jude chapter 1, or Jude verse 6, it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate. What are they talking about? They're talking about the third of the angels that followed Satan. Okay? But left their own habitation, they became demons. Remember what when Christ met the man at Gennesaret? And the demons said, what's your name? Legion. Are you here to torment us before the what? Before the time? They know that their time is fixed. It says here, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the what? Great day. Now, here's some interesting things. There are some demons that are chained right now. They're not all running around. Okay? They're going to the lake of fire. And everyone else that does wickedness, they're in the lake of fire. And so, is it going to be a party? No. Can you imagine, you know, when you get yourself into a bad place and you don't want to be there, and someone says, well, I told you so, what happens? You fight? They're going to be fighting down there too, I'm sure. I'm sure of it, because the blame game will start. Well, you didn't. It's a choice. It's a choice that's made now. Or you've made it sometime in the past. And it puts you on an eternal destination pathway. If you believe in Christ, you'll go to heaven.
Amen.
While all this is going on and people are being destroyed, there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new Jerusalem that's 1,500 miles cubed. Enough room for all mankind forever. And we'll be in there. And the Son of God will be the light of it. Make the decision for Christ now. And that's your end destination. You will have a mansion over the hilltop. You can't see it yet, but it's promised to you. Or die in your sins, die in unbelief, and go to hell, and then wind up eventually in a lake of fire where the worm dieth not and is never quenched and is a constant consumption. Can you imagine being burned and it never stopping? Like the burning bush. You're never consumed. You're constantly burning. Because that's the eternal part of you. Constantly burning.